what is this podcast even about?
Entrepreneurship, lifestyle, and everything in between. She's basically her business bestie.
I have Ashley from House of Rehab. She has a fashion brand, a clothing brand that I fell in love with. We actually met by some very interesting circumstances, but we'll get into that later. Ashley, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. And for those who are not familiar with House of Rehab, can you give a quick little run through of what your brand is all about?
I hate answering this question because
it's like an elevator speech.
Yeah. But basically, House of Rehab, I design women's clothing and accessories, and our like main brand tagline is fashion made me do it. So I always say like I create clothes for the overdressed friend, like the girls that love to, they love fashion, they love shopping, they love to get dressed up. So I just create things that allow them to express their own personal style.
I love it. And I love clothes. I love girly stuff. I wouldn't say I'm like heavy into fashion, but your brand makes me feel like the pieces are already ready to wear. I don't really have to think too hard and put too much thought in it. Like they're already super cute, super trendy. And I just love the offerings that you have. So how did you get started? Well, first of all, how old is House of Rehab? Because it's a new to me brand. I just discovered the brand in 2020. So when did you actually start this brand?
So House of Rehab has been around officially since like 2014. It's been a bunch of things before it became what it is now. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was like a Detroit-based like t-shirt brand that didn't go anywhere. And so then it kind of ventured off into being like a vintage apparel company where I would rehab the clothes.
Okay.
So I would take them, kind of like make them into something new. That lasted for maybe like a year. And then I started with a sweatshirt. Probably all of this stuff happened in like 2014. So probably like the fall of 2014, I had a sweatshirt that said fashion made me do it, which is just something I came up with one day. And so I just started making different like t-shirts or sweatshirts that had some type of like fashion related wording on it. And then probably in like 2017, 2018, I started venturing off into making things outside of just t-shirts. And then 2019, I started with handbags and kind of like mass producing my own designs.
Wow. So you actually have a lot of years on the books, whether it's officially or unofficially. That's pretty dope. Were you doing anything that was like in the entrepreneurial space prior to that, or you kind of just were already interested in fashion and that's how it started?
I've always been interested in fashion probably since I was in like elementary school. Like I always would watch the Style Network before school every morning because they would show like the behind the scenes of the runway shows. And so like all the designers on there went to Parsons School of Design in New York. So I was probably like in the third grade requesting like catalogs from Parsons because I knew that's where I was going to go. So the high school I went to, they had like a fashion program. And then I went to college for fashion merchandising.
Okay.
And product development. So it's something that I've always wanted to do. At the time when I started the brand, I was not working anything that had anything to do with fashion, but I knew like I wanted, like I still loved fashion, so I had to kind of find something to kind of fill that void. So that's where the brand came about, and then it's just kind of been evolving since then.
That's pretty good. So you mentioned that closer to like 2019, you started getting into the handbags, and I know that you do a lot of custom manufacturing. How did that transition happen with you having these ideas, these visions of products that you wanted to create and actually getting them manufactured?
Yeah, so it was an idea that I've always had. Like I've always had sketches and stuff I did since I was a child, but it just seemed like so out of reach. I knew it was going to be so expensive. So actually Blair from Pink Elephant, like she's someone I always like looked up to. And so I had reached out to her. So I know she was like getting, she was like the first person I saw. Like now everybody was is doing those China trips and manufacturing. But she was like the first person I saw doing that. And I knew she was like getting stuff manufactured. And so I reached out to her and she gave me a contact that was actually in Philadelphia. And she was like, you know, they do smaller quantities, but it's going to be about X amount of dollars. And at the time, that seemed like a lot of money to me. So I was like, okay, well, let me put that off on the back burner. But I would always get so frustrated because I really was limited to just whatever the wholesale options were. So you can buy joggers wholesale and like print your logo on them, but you're kind of limited to what colors they have, what, you know, fit they have. Right. And it just really wasn't what I wanted. So I just, one day I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna just look into it. It really was with the handbags. I was hand painting them and I was just getting so tired. Like it was a lot to do between working full time and then trying to like paint all these bags. And I felt like I really couldn't keep up with the demand. And so I was like, I'm so tired of trying to paint these handbags. So I was like, okay, I'm just looking into it and see how much it costs. And it just was like baby steps. Like I ended up finding, well, I found my current manufacturer. I found her because I was buying them wholesale. I was going to buy the bags and I would paint them. And so one day I asked, I was like, do you make, like, do you actually manufacture stuff? And she was like, yeah, we can. So she told me like how much a sample was. And I was like, okay, like that was a lot of money.
Yeah, those sample prices are always a lot higher than we expect.
Yes. And so I was like, okay, well, like I'll figure out how to get the money to pay for the sample. And she was like, are you sure you want to do this? Because if you don't like actually go for it with like doing a bulk order, you're just going to be wasting your money. So I think the sample was like $300 or $400 because they have to like make a mold and do all this stuff. And I was like, at the time I just kept going with it. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. And so it just started from there. And once I did that and that kind of worked, I was like, okay, well, I can like try something else though.
That's dope. I know a lot of people want to get into manufacturing and they're just overwhelmed mm-hmm. by the entire process. And it sounds like a mm-hmm. pattern that I hear from people is that they kind of find their manufacturer by happenstance. Like you said, you mm-hmm. were ordering in bulk and then ended up asking those questions. So what's one piece of advice that you would give to someone who is looking to start getting into that custom manufacturing?
I would say definitely kind of flesh out your idea as best as possible. Because there's going to be, it's not like you can just pick up the phone, especially when you're dealing with people overseas. You can't just pick up the phone and talk to them and be like, hey, this is what I want to do. Like you may say, I want to make a pink shirt. Okay, well, what kind of shirt, what kind of pink, what kind of material? Like there's so many details. So definitely like fully flesh out your idea before you start looking for a manufacturer, because otherwise you're just going to end up wasting your money. And then I would definitely say don't like expect for things to be perfect the first time. Like it's sometimes I'm just like, I tell one of my manufacturers, like just make it. And then it's easier for me to just see it in person and then tell you like,
right, what changes need to be made. Changes. That's true. Yeah, I recently saw you talking about tech packs, which I love. One thing I love about mm-hmm. following all, most of the brands that I follow, I follow the owner as well. And I like to see like, you know, mm-hmm. what you post. You post a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of advice. So mm-hmm. We'll make sure that we get the audience your tags for your social media. But one thing you were recently talking about is tech packs. And one of the biggest things mm-hmm. that I found in business is that it's hard to know what you need when you don't know the name of what you need. So when mm-hmm. I was getting into manufacturing, I knew that I needed something to say exactly what I wanted, but I had no idea what it was called. Like I said, I don't have any history or education in fashion, so I had never even heard of a tech pack. So I actually ended up learning about a tech pack because I was talking to a US-based manufacturer that was extremely detailed. And he's like, okay, send me over your tech pack. And I'm like, crickets, what is that? Like, so I started Googling it and I found out that it was kind of just this file that explained to like soup to nuts exactly what I was asking for. Mm-hmm. So I know you were sharing some tips about how to do a tech pack if you're not an actual designer. Mm-hmm. Can you share some of those tips now?
Yeah, so a lot of stuff I know is because my degree is in product development and merchandising. So like I was originally just doing like I would make like a PowerPoint and send it over. Like I did that when I got my bags manufactured for the first time, basically with all the measurements, all the details, everything, because if you can be as detailed as possible, you risk like wasting your time and wasting your money and having to redo things. But actual tech pack is basically giving full, it's like a blueprint to a house. Like, so it's just really, it helps because there's a, like I said, there's a language barrier, especially if you're dealing with people overseas, and you just want to make sure that they fully understand. That's my biggest advice, like fully flesh out the idea. And when you do that, you can get a tech pack done and send that over.
All right. So let's get into how we kind of collided through our respective brands. So Dose Collective is an initiative out in Detroit, which I want to say, like, you guys, I feel like I'm supposed to be in Detroit because y'all really hustle. Like, like it feels like majority of the women I follow Blair, I follow Mia, mm-hmm. I follow all these women that are in Detroit, and they're just really, really building brands. Like, not just having this idea and doing it on a whim, but really having like a sturdy brand. Like Blair, for instance, you mentioned she's one of the first people that you saw like doing the China trips. I started following her because of the China trips. I didn't even know what I wanted to get from China when I started following her. But so Dose Collective is an initiative out in Detroit that kind of brings together smaller brands, primarily local brands from Michigan and Detroit, and puts them into a retail space in a in an extended pop-up style business. So I was introduced to Dose via just someone that followed me on Instagram and said, hey, I saw this opportunity. I think you would be good for it. And I went ahead and applied, and your brand, House of Rehab, was there, and a bunch of other, just a huge variation of different brands. So for me, the experience of getting over into retail, which I think this started, what, November, and my brand had just launched in September, I was not ready for that. It was very overwhelming. Yeah, my brand launched in September, and then it's like, okay, I don't want to miss the opportunity, but retail is a whole different beast from e-commerce, which is what I'm used to. So how did that experience fare for you going into the retail space?
It was a lot because I feel like at that same time, my like online stuff was really kind of taking off and getting busier than normal. So it was a lot to kind of manage. And so, but I think overall it was a good experience. And it still is a good experience because just it exposes the brand to more people and they can actually come in and like physically touch the products and see them. So I definitely think it's been a really good experience. But it's definitely added like another layer of responsibility to try and manage.
Right. So as far as making your product retail ready, what are some different things that you had to do? You know, when we're doing our e-commerce, it's like our stuff is in our office or our warehouse or wherever we fulfill from. And it's we wait for the order and then we fulfill it. For retail, it's kind of you kind of have to romance the customer because they're seeing it. And it's and then you're not physically there all the time. Like you had the opportunity to have a couple pop up guest appearances, but you're not always there. So you kind of have to merchandise your product to make it desirable. So what are some things that you had to do to get your product retail ready?
I kind of was like adjusting as I went along. So when we first started, it was just basically like, okay, let me send what I have or take what I have. But as we've gone on, like I've started having my manufacturers like send stuff with hang tags on there because online I didn't need that, but just kind of like being a little bit more proactive with that. And then making sure that I keep reminding people like, hey, you can go in and shop in store. And then I've done the two like pop-up events, which have been, you know, really successful, just being able to like actually be there and like interact with those people that are there locally. So that, and then just kind of thinking about like, you have to plan a little bit more. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to order this, like how much am I going to have to put in store as well as keep online? So just it definitely takes a little bit more planning.
Right. So as far from your professional experience, is that what forecasting is as far as your ordering, or is that kind of deciding what the products are going to be in the future?
Yeah. So my corporate background is I've worked in product development for a major like watch retailer here. And so we did a lot of product development for licensed brands like Michael Kors or Marc Jacobs. And then I did that for like a year. And then currently I'm an assistant buyer for a arts and crafts company here. And so I take a lot of the stuff that I do at work and I just run my business like I would at work. So that comes with Like everything is done by season, especially when I worked in product development. Everything was done by season. So I started like planning things out by season, because otherwise, like before, I was just like, oh, I had this idea, I want to do it. And so then I had a bunch of stuff that really didn't make sense. It didn't go together. So like trying to plan things by season has really helped my marketing. Like I can do all my photo shoots all at once. Like I can plan everything out so that it's a bigger statement than just doing these little random ideas. And then definitely, like I try and start, like right now, I'm already kind of thinking about what I want to do in the fall or what I want to do in the wintertime. Just kind of gathering those ideas, especially with getting things manufactured, you do have to kind of plan a little bit in advance so that, especially with clothes, like you can get those shipped by sea instead of shipping them by air. It saves you money. But to do that, you have to allow yourself those 30 to 45 days for shipping, which means you got to start planning ahead. So definitely a lot more like looking at trends or what's going to be popular and planning out far in advance versus just before. I'll probably be like, oh, I want to do this, and then I'll just go randomly do it, and then it didn't
Right.
make sense.
So do
No.
you feel that your like academic experience and your professional experience kind of shaped you and put you in a position to be able to be a organized entrepreneur? Like if you didn't have, if you didn't come from fashion as far as college and then working in the fashion industry, or excuse me, the product development industry, do you feel that you would kind of have it all together the way you do now as an entrepreneur?
I think working, like doing the work corporately has definitely helped me as far as being like, oh, okay, this is how they run their business, so I can run my business this way. A lot of the stuff that I learned in college, I've used to this day. And so that's why I'm always like, stuff that comes like with the tech pack or stuff like that is like, okay, that's not too far fetched for me. So I definitely feel like it's helped where I don't have to do that much research, or it's not so much of a foreign language to me. Especially with like buying and like figuring out retails, and like we buy stuff overseas for my corporate job. So kind of like having that experience already with working with those overseas vendors definitely helped me when I started to do my own manufacturing.
True. Okay. Do you do everything on your own, or do you have a team?
No, it's me. I do all of the designs. Just recently I started like hiring on Fiverr, which is basically like you, it's kind of like you just hire per gig. So that's how I got the tech pack done. Because like I said before, I was just kind of doing like my own little janky version of it. Then I was like, okay, let me actually, this will be easier. So definitely like finding things to make it easier for me. Like I have my mom like helping me like with orders, or helping me keep the office together and do inventory, because like things got a little bit busier and I was like, I can't do all this stuff. So definitely like being like, okay, what can I do to make my life a little bit easier? But no, other is literally my mom helps do orders, and the rest of it is just me. But I will like outsource some things if I'm like, I don't have time to do this.
Definitely. So in the midst of all that, working your corporate job, doing everything that you have to do for your business, like I said, I do find that you share a lot of information on your personal page. You share a lot of tips when it comes to small businesses. You openly ask, like, does anyone have any questions? One thing that you talk about a lot is Shopify. And one question that I got recently was, like, what's the best platform to start my website on? And I can only speak for the platforms that I've used. So the three that I usually break it down into is Square, Squarespace, and Shopify. So my quick breakdown is that Square is the best place to start if you don't want to commit to really anything yet, because it's either free or super cheap and it's pretty easy to use. It's not highly customizable. Squarespace is good if you have like a service-based business, or you're trying to display something. Maybe you're a photographer or an artist, or you work in a business where you're providing a service. And then Shopify is perfect for people who have products. So, what has been your experience with Shopify thus far, being the platform that you use for your e-commerce? I'm new to Shopify. I just started using it, like I said, in September. So, what has been your experience, and what are some of your favorite aspects of Shopify?
Yeah, I've been on Shopify since 2014. Like we had when I first started, I was on something else. Like it wasn't Big Cartel, but it was something similar to that. I had a one-on-one with Mia from Glamaholic Lifestyle. She was telling me about Shopify, and so I've been on it since then. So I've seen it grow and advance, and offer so many more things than it did when I started using it like 7 years ago. So to me, I feel like Shopify has like the most resources, and they really try and like help companies grow. And this past like last 2 years, they've done like a lot of advancements. To like now you can do returns. Like you couldn't do that before.
Oh,
Like
wow.
they've done a lot of things to make like running a business easier. So when people ask me, I'm gonna tell them Shopify because that's all that I've used. And I know like a lot of like large brands use Shopify. So I feel like if it's good enough for them, then it should, work for you. But I definitely like always recommend Shopify. I feel like it's some people say it's difficult, but I feel like it's fairly easy to use. But I've also been using it for a long time. But I definitely recommend it. I think it's great. It's got a lot of resources.
I find it to be user friendly. The one thing that I think is overwhelming, which is like a catch 22, is the fact that there are so many third party apps that you can add in to make your store very customized and customize your experience. But the amount of apps is like way too overwhelming. Are there any specific apps or add-ons that you use right now that didn't come, just generically with the programming that are helpful to your business?
There's an app and it's called Reconvert. I just started using that maybe like for the last 2 months. And basically that when people check out, they will see an offer to basically like buy more. If I don't know if anybody's ever like purchased stuff on Vistaprint. Vistaprint does all the
Oh,
time
yes,
when you
that's
buy them.
the app. I do. I wait. I say I'm only gonna get 50 because I know after I check out, they're gonna ask me, do I want 50 more for half off? So.
So that's basically what that app does. And that's just something I've been wanting to focus on for this year is just not just promoting all the time, but promoting to people that are already customers. So I feel like that's a little bit more like beneficial than to just be offering blanket offers to anybody that comes to your website. So that app basically does just like Vistaprint. You buy something, once you complete your order, it's going to tell you, hey, you want to get another pair of joggers for a discount. So I think that app has been really successful. I'm trying to think. There's another one, actually, my boyfriend was telling me about called Super Report. So if you don't have like the super, I still have the basic Shopify plan. I know like the higher one gives you a little bit more reporting and analytics, but Super Reports kind of does the same thing. It will give you those reportings, tell you like, because the basic plan I think will only tell you your top five items you sold, but it won't give you, okay, I want to know how many of each thing I sold. Super Reports will give you those details without you having to get like the super expensive Shopify plan. What else? Those are the two that I just recently like started using and I found have been like really beneficial.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check out the super reports. I love the I'm like heavy into analytics and I've worked in retail, in the past for almost a decade. So I know that, those key metrics and everything are really important. So that's one thing that I love about Shopify. I love getting to look at the geeky stuff. Like when the person added this to the cart, they also added this. So it allows you the information that you need to really go in depth and see what people are buying and kind of why they are buying it. So you did mention your boyfriend. I noticed that he also has a brand. How is that with you guys both having, so much on your plate and having these two different brands? Like, do you guys work together within your brands? Is everything separate? How does that work?
So a lot of people think like that we kind of started the companies together. Like he started his company with his friends in college, and I started my company a little before we were even together. But a lot of people will think like that we're just interchangeable. But we kind of step in and help each other. So like if I'm here at the office and he's like, oh, somebody needs to come pick up something, we're here. And we figure it out. I think it's been helpful to bounce ideas off of each other or to be like, well, what do you think about this? because it's hard if you just talk to a random person, they might be like, I mean, I don't know, like, just, you know.
Right.
But at least, like, if you have somebody that kind of, like, can't understand what it is that you're trying to do, and so you might be randomly be like, okay, well, how many shirts do you think I should order, or what do you think I should do? So it's definitely helpful.
That's good. It's funny that you say that it's interchangeable, because one of my other businesses, I have a business partner, my best friend. So literally anything that either of us does or that we're connected to, everyone thinks it's all like interrelated. Like they're asking her about like stationary stuff. It's like, I don't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. Yeah. But it's kind of a good thing because you kind of get to taste a little bit of each other's audience. Mm-hmm. And that's good. I love that. And then you said your mom helps you a lot. So, I mean, I love to, mm-hmm. I just really love to watch the personal back end, because I love how you always show, like, even just you fulfilling orders. I know mm-hmm. right now, this past week in Texas, you guys had a really big weather event, mm-hmm. and that impacted what you were able to do within your business. So just seeing that as someone who has a small business, I look up to the fact that you've been doing this 7-8 years and you're showing this full picture. So mm-hmm. with everything that has happened with Texas in the last week, I noticed, you just giving this behind the scenes and talking about how it has delayed shipping and like UPS mm-hmm. literally not even being open. So how was that experience and how it impacted your business?
It was definitely challenging because so it snowed on Valentine's Day. That was Sunday. And so we were at home all day Sunday. And then Monday, you couldn't really go anywhere. Well, Monday we lost power Monday morning. And so Monday, Tuesday, and then part of Wednesday, we didn't have power. And so it was just like trying to juggle. So you couldn't really do anything for the business. And then also still trying to like work my corporate job, because they were still like, okay, so yeah, you want to hop on the computer.
That's crazy.
So I was just trying to juggle that. But I spent all those other days just sitting there with no power, no internet, nothing. So it felt good Thursday to actually like get some orders done. And I was like, I called UPS and I was like, are y'all open? Like, we're here, but they're not picking up. They're not making any drop offs. So I feel like Friday and Saturday finally kind of got back a little bit to normal, but it was definitely challenging just thinking of things like, okay, like what could I have done better? Like, could I maybe just have sent out a blast email and be like, hey, this is what's going on? But you just kind of have to find that balance, especially when it's just you, because you're like, look, like, I don't have any power, no internet,
right.
I don't have running water still it's going on, and you're like, my life is falling apart over here, but these people don't know, they still
they just
like,
want their order.
yeah, like I placed my order yesterday, I want to know what's going on with it. So just trying to find that balance of like not taking things too personal, and still like personal stuff can be falling apart, but you still gotta still run this business. So.
Right. I've been thinking about that mm-hmm. a lot lately, between the pandemic and then the mm-hmm. extreme delays that we faced with the holiday shipping. And then even this mm-hmm. week, you guys having that big weather event, like what things can we as small, tiny micro business owners have in place to kind of just make people more aware of the fact that, you know, there is only one person behind the mm-hmm. screen processing this order. So like, I was even thinking, for instance, my fulfillment time is 5 to 7 business days. And I'm like, most times my goal is to get things out within 3 business days. But mm-hmm. when events like that happen, it's like, thank God that I did have mm-hmm. my thing set at 7 days, and I don't feel under pressure. I don't feel a rush. So it's like,
yeah,
being a business owner, I just have so much respect for the people behind the brands, because I know mm-hmm. the different things that we run into. And I just want more of us to show, you know, those occasions, so that the customer and the people that support us just have a better idea. Like, it's a human mm-hmm. behind those yeah. emails and behind those screens. And it definitely does help us grow. Like, for instance, I recently got an email. Let's say the person ordered on Monday at 9 a.m. So on Tuesday at 9 a.m., they say, hey, I pay for 2-day shipping. When is my order? It's like, okay, fulfillment and shipping is 2 whole different things. So it's like, what can I do as the business owner to communicate these type of things more mm-hmm. effectively? But it's also like you feel like you have to educate someone of mm-hmm. the entire process, where most things we just assume that everybody knows. Shipping is one thing and mm-hmm. fulfillment is another. So
yes.
it definitely teaches you those lessons. It's hard not to take it personal. I talked about this with Vanessa last week, but mm-hmm. it just shapes you up to be a better business person, I think.
Yeah, that's not my goal for this year, is to stop taking things so personal, but it's very hard. Because I would be like, why would this person think that they could say this to me?
Right.
Or like, what would make you? So, but I'm gonna get better at it.
It's a daily struggle. Trust me, I definitely understand. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I do, and this is not a negative thing at all, because it's amazing to have a big following, have a supportive following. And I actually was just on live with my community for my business the other day, and we were talking about this. How do you feel being a product-based business with people coming to you with requests for your brand? So I think I saw you talking about this on Instagram. When I was talking about it with my community, I had to explain to them, okay, I think I saved your post, actually. I have it in my phone because I was like, I have to repost this. You worded it so perfectly. I can't remember what you said, but basically I was explaining to my community, like, y'all, I have the vision, it's there, but I'm a regular old person. Like, I don't have Amazon money to go and make the 200 products that are sitting in my brain and in my heart today. I can't just push out and then I can't make everybody happy. So you are asking me for one thing that you're just the only person that wants that. I can't buy 500 quantities and you're the only person that wants it. So how do you deal with those like kind suggestions of people saying, hey, why don't you do this and why don't you do that?
That's like one of the big things of like not taking things personal, because I think what people don't understand, like, especially when you first launch a product. So like I just launched a blazer in January. And so like before it even came out, people were like, the blazer was pink. So before it even released, people were like, well, do you have any like plans to do this in this color and this color? And it's like, I've just spent months trying to, like, that blazer came out in January. I started working on it in October. Like, there's so much time and like anxiety and money that goes into just getting something out. And then like before you even put it on the shelf, people are still like, well, what about this? And what about that? And it's like, look, I just got this out. Like, I'm just going to be happy about this.
Right. Can we celebrate this new launch?
Yeah. But I had to realize, like, people do that. Like, it's a gift and a curse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing to just be happy that people actually like your brand and they want more things, but you just have to be like, just double tap and keep going. Mm-hmm. And that's it, because like you'll literally like let it annoy you, but it's really just people, like, they like the brand and they are just expressing that they want to see more, and you just have to be like, okay, I'm gonna add it to this suggestion box,
right. But it's definitely a double-edged sword. Like, I will internalize it and then it'll almost paralyze me. So it's like, okay, between the stuff that I want to do and the stuff that I can do and the stuff that I have planned, and then adding in all the stuff that you're asking for, I can't do anything now. Now my brain cannot even function. I'm just gonna stop. And now I went a month without even putting anything into production, and it just feels, it's super overwhelming. So it's definitely a personal struggle trying to make all of that constructive. So I think the way that I'm going to personally do it is I just try to do these like live check-ins, and I was getting feedback on something that I'm getting ready to launch. And I said, okay, so I want the feedback to be from the framework of how do we make this work for as many people as possible. So don't give me your super specific personal, I have a dog and I want it to be dog color. Like, give me your general feedback so that we can move on to the next step. And most people will be happy, because we're never going to be able to please everybody. And I mean, that's the joy of there being 10 million brands. Like, for people that say, oh, I don't want to start a fashion brand, I don't want to start a sneaker line, or I don't want to start a purse brand. Well, that's the joy of there being all of these businesses in the market, because it gives the customer the ability to choose and, you know, find somebody that does have the blazer in black while they're waiting for you to come up with your next design. So it's definitely a personal struggle. Are there any other little things that maybe get to you sometimes that you're trying to flip it into, you know, making you a better entrepreneur, a better small business owner?
Like, I said this the other day, and I was like, sometimes I wish I didn't even sell clothes, because I have to answer about sizing, and it's just like that part I'm still trying to figure out. Like, I feel like I've been trying to like over communicate on sizing, and, you know, here's a size chart, having the manufacturer measure and all this stuff. Then I feel like I'm still getting more and more questions. Like, I answered that, but then like people are gonna find something to say. So just trying to find that balance of communicating but not overdoing it, because it's just like, I'm not gonna be able to answer everybody's question and make everybody happy, and it's just like, you just can't. So that, and then just trying to balance out like what some stuff, like I said, I just might double tap the message and keep going because I can't, like, if I sit there and really be like, now why would this person feel like that they could say this to me or that this was okay, like I'll just go off on the whole deep end. So I just be like, okay, let that go. Like I had the this is another app that they have on Shopify, Kit, which actually like helps automate Instagram ads and Facebook ads, but they also, it's like tied in with the Shopify chat app. And so I finally had to turn that off because I was like, I can't answer these questions. Like it's too much when you're one person. Like I can't always be on call. Like you have to set boundaries of, I try to do that now. Like after 7 p.m. I'm not answering emails, even though they come to my phone. Mm-hmm. I can't be customer service after 7 p.m. So that's why I had to turn that app off, because I was like, look, I'm not going to be able to just be, you know, always on demand to answer some stuff. So just finding those boundaries and just having to know like when you have to clock out.
If you know of a small business owner, just please pray for us, think of us, because sometimes people do overstep the boundaries. And sometimes we even overstep our own boundaries. We're trying so hard to please people and have, you know, great customer service. And that leads to us having burnout because we're just doing too much sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard to find. Like, I like showing the behind the scenes stuff, but, and like having that little bit of like being personable, but then some people is just going to take it too far. Like, I kind of reel back on showing like samples, like samples come in, I'm like, oh, like this is like really cute. Now it's just a sample, but people not knowing that like production part of it, it may just be a sample. I may never do anything with it. Like I have samples that I got this time last year that I like. I just don't know when I'm going to ever do it. And so people were like, I remember somebody was messaging me like, well, I want that. Like, when is it going to come out? When is it? I want to buy it. Can I just buy the sample? And it's like, I'm like, I just want to have fun and show y'all, you know, like, look what I did. But I just had to, like, reel back. Now, I won't show a sample unless it's something that I already kind of know that I'm going to, like, move forward with or is, like, already in line. So I may record a lot of stuff and I won't put it out until it's closer to when it's going to be, because otherwise people are going to, like, bug you about it and it just gets in your, like, creative space, because you're like,
absolutely.
Well, I'm just trying to, right now I'm just figuring this out. I'm just, you know, having fun. I'm like, oh, look, this sample that came in, and it's like, now it just got too serious.
Oh, that's so funny. I feel like most of the business owners that I follow experience the same thing, and they put like a big old sign over like, this is a sample. I'm just showing y'all. I'm just trying to keep y'all in the loop. It's no, I don't have any information yet.
Yeah.
That's too funny. All right, Ashley. Well, I thank you for even taking your time to come and talk to me today. I do want to get to your social media handle so people can follow you. But before we get there, is there any Black woman-owned business that you would like to highlight this week?
Yeah, so I thought about this question because I listened to the other episode. Yep. So I was prepared. There's a company called Brooklyn Body Butter. Oh, she's actually from Detroit, and she has her own like shea butters and a lot of body products that she's been developing. So I definitely love her products. I love like I've seen her business grow to like getting her own warehouse space, and just seeing her grow from making things in her home to, you know, just improving on her packaging and just kind of like elevating as a brand. So
I love that. We didn't really clarify this, but you're from Detroit and right now you're in Texas. Mm-hmm. But what is going on in Detroit? Like, do they come to like your kindergarten orientation and teach you about entrepreneurship? Because it feels like everybody has a business. What is that about?
I don't know, because honestly, I remember being very young, so probably like 6 or 7, and I had like this bookshelf. I always loved to read, so I had all these books, and I remember being like, oh, like I'm gonna start my own library. So I would write out like all this stuff, and I told my mom like, yeah, like when people come over, like I'm gonna charge them 10 cents to rent.
Oh my goodness, it's not like me.
Nobody was coming over my house, but like I did that. I remember being in like elementary school, probably like 3rd or 4th grade, and like I always knew how to draw, so I would draw something. And I had my best friend at the time, like she was my employee, so she would like go sell it.
You know what? Not your employee.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I love it. It's like a phenomenon to me. Like, you know, every place will have a little slogan. I've seen the slogan, like, Detroit girls hustle harder. Like, slogan is very true. Every third time I see a business or a brand, the woman is from Detroit. And I'm just like, I need to go over there and drink some of the water or something. Because, I mean, granted, we have a lot of people who have that hustle and that drive. But I feel like most of the people that I know, they're very like career oriented, or maybe they want to get into like a professional service, be like a lawyer, that's all great. But I have never seen, I know people talk about Atlanta being like a black mecca for entrepreneurship, but I just feel like it's Detroit. Like,
yeah, I think maybe because right now I feel like it's new Detroit, but like when I've been in Dallas for like a little over 4 years, but I remember like, when nobody wants to come to Detroit, you know, Detroit had like such a bad name and such a bad rep. And there was like, you know, like everybody had the recession in like 2008 or whatever, but I feel like it really hit Detroit hard. And so, I don't know, I feel like Detroit always been like the underdog. So people always been trying to like figure out a way to get it.
I mean, that's good. Sometimes it really is like the underdog position that propels you forward to even, you know, come up with the hustle or come up with an idea. So I love it. Going there for the Dose Collective and just seeing even what T has put together with Dose Collective being in a downtown location and a mall location. I mean, it's completely inspiring. So if you're listening and you're looking for some more entrepreneurs to follow Detroit. Like they are busting out these businesses. Blair, Mia, Ashley, you just mentioned the woman who has Brooklyn Body Butter. Like if you are looking for a blueprint, it's over there in Michigan. So all right, Ashley, give them your social media tag so they can go follow you and House of Rehab.
Yeah, so it's House of Rehab, just how it sounds, or you can also search Fashion Made Me Do It. Will pop up that way as well. Okay. My personal Instagram is Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E, and then M-A-R-E-A.
Perfect. And one last question. Do you have Fashion Made Me, like, do you have a trademark for that slogan?
Yeah, so I did a trademark probably about 2 years ago.
Nice.
Don't do that. I did it on LegalZoom, and don't do that because I ended up only, like, it was just for t-shirts or something. So I ended up having to file it again. So file it for, like, more classes, like for the handbags or for clothing. So, yes, we do. I ended up having to do it twice. So get an actual trademark work. So you don't have to do that.
Yes, I love it. So she owns her tagline, owns her brand. Thank you so much, Ashley. I really appreciate you taking the time out to have this conversation, especially considering the past week that you have had. I truly appreciate it. All right, guys, follow House of Rehab and Ashley on Instagram. Check out her brand. She has a lot of tips in her Instagram stories, and she also, she'll open up the floor for questions if you have questions about Shopify or any of the other resources that she shares. So do that. Be well, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Ow!